I fell asleep in the car in October of 1994. Not a really good thing to do. I ran into a tree. I was driving a little Korean subcompact, and I saw the car months later, and it was taller than a bus, but quite a bit thinner. I got air-evac'd out, so I got to take a $10,000 helicopter ride to a hospital. Where I was in the trauma center for about 10 hours while they tried to wrap me up in garbage bags to keep me from falling apart. They did surgery on me over the next 2 days, and only on the fourth day did they discover that I had a broken ankle. This is how messed up I was. If I came within 30 minutes of death, it wouldn't surprise me at all, and I'm sure there were times when I was closer than that. Really, very, very lucky to be alive. I had spectacular doctors, and one doesn't get to choose your doctors in this circumstance, but the orthopedic surgeon who rebuilt my hip was a man named Stuart Cozen, and I met him on the fourth day in the hospital, which was when I woke up. And Dr. Cozen looked at me and he said, "You'll be up and walking in 2 weeks," which was a spectacular lie that I really needed to hear, and it was very, very beneficial to me. In fact, at 2 weeks in the hospital, there were two big bruisers, I mean giant men of physical therapists, who were supporting me on both sides while I was walking Spanish down the halls of the hospital. In other words, my toes were barely touching the terrazzo flooring of the hospital floor. In any case, I got to go home after 28 days, and 28 days in the hospital is virtually impossible to do. To stay in the hospital for longer than 3 days now is a real achievement. In 28 days, I was completely nuts. I was dying to go home. Unfortunately, the woman I was married to at the time had another relationship going on, and not too long after I got home, still unable to walk unaided, I was able to walk with a walker. But soon after I got home, she moved away, God bless her, and took my children with her, took every penny that we had, which wasn't a huge amount of money, but every dollar that we had in the bank she took. She left me with a big pile of receivables urgently due. This is kind of a load to have thrown upon me at that time, and my father came out and helped, God bless him, and family friends chipped in, and there are amazing things that you can get by home delivery if you're willing to make phone calls, and so I was able to persevere and keep body and soul together, and I was working for a living. I mean, obviously, I had to keep the income flowing, and so I was working, sitting for about 45 minutes at my desk, which was about all I could take at that time, and then taking a 15-minute break in the bed, and then getting back up and working again. But in the course of this, obviously, I am who I am, and there was no way that I was going to be crippled. And a Dr. Cozen saying, "You'll be walking in 2 weeks," that was a very inspirational message for me at the time. And even after I figured out that he was lying to me, it didn't matter because there was no way that I was going to be a cripple. There was absolutely no way I was going to spend the rest of my life in a wheelchair or a walker or even walking with a cane. And so, in the course of all this crap that was going on, this shitstorm of what sounds from the outside to be unhappy stories, I went out to the garage in the house that we were living at that time and laid my bicycle down flat on the floor so that I could hike my good leg over the bicycle and then reach down between my two legs and pull the bike up between me. And in that way, I was able to get on the bike and I just rode out into the cul-de-sac that we lived on at that time. And thank God it was a cul-de-sac because if there had been traffic, I'd have been killed. But, rode around that cul-de-sac until I was exhausted and then put the bike in the garage. And the next day I did the same thing and went a little farther. And the next day I did the same thing and went a little farther. And 5 or 6 days in, I was out on the Western Canal in Chandler, riding my bicycle for miles at a time on the canal. And, 2 weeks in, I was very, very strong. And obviously, at the same time all this is going on, I'm going through a whole ton of physical therapy and all this crap, and still mainly walking with a walker, but gradually able to walk with a cane, and in due course able to walk. And if you've seen me, you could say, "Well, Greg, your opinion is that you're able to walk, but you're really not. I walk with a pronounced limp. My left foot lacks the nerve connections necessary to push off, which is what you do when you walk. And because of that, I can't walk normally and I can't run at all. I have dreams about running. Meanwhile, on the marital front, I was engaged in a completely vicious divorce. And my wife at that time, my soon-to-be ex-wife, my ex-wife now, was paying her attorney to tell a fabulous number of lies about me, incredible lies, unbelievable things, and frankly, unbelievable to anyone because, of course, the kind of lies she was telling come with a documentary record. You don't get to claim that these things happen without being able to produce the documents that go along with them. So thank goodness nobody believed her, but it was really horrifying for me to have those kind of lies told about me. The reason that I'm doing all of this, talking about this, I don't normally reveal this sort of stuff, and it's not really anybody's business, and it doesn't really matter in the long run. It's just something that I lived through. It is constructive of my character, I suppose. You may wonder why I'm able to put up with so much shit that we get at Bloodhound Blog, why I'm able to weather so much withering criticism from, I don't want to dignify them with an epithet, but why I'm able to put up with all this crap. It's because I've been through so much crap. I can't imagine anything that life can throw at me that I haven't already seen worse of and lived through it, and lived through it without too much difficulty. So it's not any great big deal to me, but I wanted to talk about this because Terry Luscher's daughter, Ryan, is about to undergo what amounts to invasive and hugely undignified surgery on her body. And the surgery will result in a temporary, one may hope temporary, indignity that she'll just have to bear over the course of the next few months. And I just wanted to talk to her about this experience that I went through in the mid to late 90s, just as a kind of salve, I would hope, a kind of a inspirational message to her that, number one, you will live through this. That's a given. Number two, the attitude that you take going in is what's going to matter. It's what's going to get you through it. And it's what's going to get you through it whole, intact, with a self-loving frame of mind. You're going to discover who your friends are. And that may really hurt you when you find out that people who you thought were your friends are suddenly, you know, making vicious cracks about you behind your back, or even worse, to your face. But on the other hand, the people that maybe you never even noticed will come forth and shine for you because of their willingness to be your friend when other people are abandoning you. And that's a valuable thing as far as I'm concerned. But ultimately, what matters is who you are and what you do. And if you can love who you are, and if you can love the things that you've done in your life, then it doesn't matter what other people think of you. And if you can't love who you are, and if you can't love the things that you've done in your life, it doesn't matter if other people think you're God. It does not matter at all. Other people's opinions are just there, that's all. And certainly you can take account of them, especially at your age, in seeking guidance about what to do in the future. But ultimately you're responsible for yourself. And if you're happy with who you are, if you're happy with the way that you're behaving, then don't even worry about anything else, and just press on. And so I thought I would read the Our Father, so that if you or your mother or anybody else listening to this wants to actually know how to pronounce it, you can mimic the sounds that I'm making. So this is the Our Father in Latin. Gloria Patri et Filio et Spiritui Sancto. See, there was a dog in there. Let's try that again without Desdemona's help. Desdemona is a great and vocal spirit, but her Latin isn't all that good. So we're going to start over again. Gloria Patri et Filio et Spiritui Sancto, sicut erat in principio et nunc et semper et in saecula saeculorum. Amen. And my Latin pronunciation is just about as good as you're going to get in any dead language. The real hard one in there is Spiritui Sancto. That ui is a diphthong in Latin, and the sound doesn't exist in English, so you just have to practice that. Spiritui Sancto. But it's a beautiful prayer, and it's the kind of prayer that can get you through a lot of ugly times. And I just want to say, Ryan, the courage you've shown so far is just amazing. You're an inspiration to me, and I only hear about you in the reports I get by phone and by email from your mother, but I'm just very, very proud. I couldn't be prouder of you for the way that you're dealing with this adversity. And if you just keep that attitude and keep that spirit alive, you'll come through this with flying colors. And it doesn't really matter what the ultimate prognosis is. You're going to live, and you're going to live through a whole lot more shit in your life than you're going through right now. And so you just got to learn to bear up to it and persevere and press on regardless. And so I will close this off by making one more bad joke just for you. Bust a gut, Ryan. I wish you every good thing. Godspeed to you. And I can't wait to hear the good news about your recovery.